Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Did you know that God has a call on your life? He has a plan for your today, and He has a bright hope for your tomorrow. I am so excited and ready for the kind of life that is talked about in John 10:10, life to the full. And I believe that that is a kind of life that God is calling us to live in 2021. Can you believe we made it through 2020? I mean, praise God, right? There were times if, you know, I doubted that it would actually happen, but here we are. Whether you are at home or on site with us here, you can now go ahead and stand with us for the reading of God's word. And I've brought my son, Caden, up here with me to help out. So this is gonna be a little call and response. So I'm gonna read a verse and then you'll read along with Caden. You ready? All right, we're reading from Judges chapter 6 today. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years.
The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds.
So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help.
When they cried out to the Lord for help because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said,
"This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and I gave you their land.
I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the God of the Amorites, in whose land do you now live? But you have not listened to me."
Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites.
The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you."
"Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites."
Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you."
"But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family."
The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man."
Let's pray together. Lord God, we surrender our past, our present, and our future. We surrender this time to you now. And as Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, you can go ahead and have a seat. You can go and have a seat. Caden, you did a great job. He's turning 10 this year, and I'm freaking out already. All right, it's all good. Well, my Grandpa Sherman, isn't that such a lovely grandpa name? My Grandpa Sherman, he passed away on Christmas morning 11 years ago. And he was quite the jokester. I'm sure you've heard of bad dad jokes, but this was bad grandpa jokes, and they were pretty bad. He would say things like, "Do you want some Sumatra?" To which you'd reply, "What's Sumatra?" And he'd say, "Nothing, what's Sumatra with you?" Get it? See, I told you they were bad. Or he would say things like, every time you would walk into his house, he'd say, "Hey, I know where you got your shirt." And you say, "Oh, really? Where?" He'd say, "On your back." I didn't make these up, he did, okay? But my personal favorite was when you would walk in and you would shake his hand. I know this is something we haven't done in like a year, but he would shake your hand. And as he was shaking your hand, he would say, "Are you afraid of me?" I'd say, "No." "Then why are you shaking?" I heard that. Thank you, Lawrence, I heard that. And that is exactly how we are introduced to the person of Gideon in this story. He is shaken, but he's really, truly afraid. I mean, I bet Grandpa Sherman never thought that his jokes would land a sermon, but they did. You see, up until this point, Israel has fallen into this really bad pattern of following God, not following God. Following God, not following God. Following God, and yes, you've read it, where we find him in this story, he is not following God. And that's where we are at the beginning of chapter 6. In Judges 6:6, it tells us that things have gotten really bad for Israel. Like this whole not following God thing isn't working out very well. It's gotten so bad for Israel, they're so desperate that they turn to God and ask for help. And when they do, the Lord is not slow to answer. In fact, God sends an angel who sits under a tree near where Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press, which is not where typically you would thresh wheat. I mean, I'm not a big wheat thresher myself, but I did a little research on the internet. I don't know if you've done this before. And I learned in the Bible times when people would thresh wheat, they would do it on what was called a threshing floor. And it was usually on the outside of town, and it was a big flat space, sometimes on a big rock, out in the open. That's not where Gideon is, right? Because he's afraid. I mean, he's afraid, what if they steal his food? What if he's got to find a new cave to hide in? Gideon is shaking. He's living small. He's living safe. Gideon is allowing his circumstances to define not only who he is, but how he's going to live. But God wanted something more for Gideon. He wanted Gideon to live big. And that's our first point this morning. If you're following along, did you know we have an app? If you're following along in the app, we get stuck living small, and God wants us to live big. Just like John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life to the full. When we start living small, we can't see beyond today. When we start living small, we panic. We get fearful. When we start living small, we do things like, oh, I don't know, hoard 200 rolls of toilet paper all for ourselves. Or maybe we just settle for less than God's best. Or maybe we stop listening altogether to the voice of God. But then look at what the angel of the Lord says to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Another version says mighty hero. Notice he didn't say, hey, person, scared in a cave. No, no, no. He called Gideon up out of his small and safe world, and he called him what Gideon did not yet know what was inside of him, but God knew it existed. He said, mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. I think that maybe this morning there are some people here or people watching online. God wants to call out something in you that you have not yet recognized within yourself. God saw Gideon hiding and he said, I have something better for you. God brought purpose and peace in the middle of Gideon's pain. There's probably some people at home and some people here who could use a little purpose and a little peace right now. Psalm 30 verse 5 says that weeping might remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Now, Gideon's purpose was to save the Israelites from the Midians. Now, that's not my purpose, and that's not yours, okay? God has a purpose and a plan, and maybe for you, that's going to be understanding your true identity in Christ for the very first time. Listening to what God wants to call out in you. Son, daughter, warrior, victor. Is it possible that we might get stuck living small and God wants us to live big? What happens next in the story of Gideon is so interesting. Gideon pulls what I would call a classic Moses. If you're familiar at all with the story of Moses, God called him out of a burning bush, which would be pretty amazing. But Moses' response to God, if you know, he said, well, who am I to do this? What if I don't know what to say? What if they don't listen to me? I don't speak well. Can't somebody else do this? Gideon replies to God's call in a very similar way. In 6:15, it says, he says, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my entire family. If I'm honest, my own excuses don't sound that far off, really. Why me? Isn't there somebody that's like more qualified or maybe has more skill or more talent? Someone who's got a little bit more training, you know? We make excuses, but God gives empowerment. Have you ever doubted a call that God had on your life? Have you ever known what he wanted you to do, but you kind of made up some excuses? And maybe your excuses were pretty good. Perhaps your excuses have even kept you from doing what God has called you to do. About halfway through my university career, I, like many people, thought perhaps, just maybe, I might not do the thing that my major was in, which was elementary education with an early childhood endorsement. You know, the little kids, right? I know, shocking to think that somebody might possibly consider a career outside of their major. Anyone else tracking with me here? Yes. I was a little uncertain as to exactly what this was going to be. I spent a lot of time in prayer and had some pretty powerful experiences. And I felt affirmed in my soul that God was calling me to be a worship pastor. So as soon as I graduated with that degree in elementary education, I started looking for jobs. And I was so blessed and grateful that I was invited to interview at Midland Free Methodist Church and in Midland, Michigan, just down the road a few hours. And the interview was going really well. And then they mentioned that the position would have some responsibilities in the student ministries department. I thought, I don't know about that, but I guess if it's just helping out, I could do it. And as the interview proceeded, I began to realize, oh, they want me to be the worship pastor and the youth pastor at the same time. And student ministries is something that had never been on my radar. I mean, I had never taken a student ministries course. I had never read a student ministries book. And podcasts weren't even around then. So, you know, I didn't listen to a student ministries podcast. My only experience in student ministries at that time was attending youth group. So I remember thinking, there is no way I can do this. I have no idea what I'm doing. There has got to be somebody more qualified, someone who's been taught to preach, somebody who has a goatee and a plaid shirt and tattoos, because that's what a youth pastor looks like, right? Someone who could lead teams better, someone who wants to eat weird foods all the time. You get the idea, right? I had some pretty good excuses. You can imagine my shock and surprise when they offered me the job. My list of excuses was pretty big. And yes, I questioned my ability, but I said yes. So there I found myself answering a new call to serve students and families. And after about a year of doing that, you know, I was like, I kind of like this. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to get some more education. So I moved down to Southern California to Azusa Pacific University to get a degree in, not student ministries, no, in worship leadership, right? So I could land that job that was just focused on leading worship, because that's what I thought I needed. And there was a church in Long Beach, California, an amazing church. It had this opening, and the position was for a middle school youth pastor. I took it because I needed the ministry experience. It was an inner city church which offered some tremendous experiences that I hadn't yet had. And, you know, I needed to make money so I could get through grad school and pay for it. And wouldn't you know it, the longer I did it, the more I started to like it. 2 years later, after finishing that program and moving from Southern California, I have found myself as a youth pastor in two other churches, including right here and right now at KCC. What began as a call on my life in a career that I had never planned on, without the training that I thought that I needed, has led me to a fulfilling and life-changing ministry. My excuses were nothing compared to the empowerment of God. Each step along the way, God has brought experiences and partners in ministry and some education and mentors, all of which have helped shape and equip me for the world of student ministries that I've been in for over 10 years. I mean, I thought my excuses were good, but God knew way better. Gideon, he also made some pretty good excuses. But God does not excuse the call he has on our life. He empowers it. And boy, does God empower Gideon. Shortly after this call, God provides the affirmation and an army. He provides the confidence, and then he provides, spoiler alert, a miraculous victory. See, we see fear, but God sees a future. We see confusion, God sees confidence. We see doubt, and God sees our destiny. No matter who you are, how old you are, how young you are, no matter your ethnicity, your gender, your social status, God has a call on your life, and he will not leave you on your own in this calling. Listen to what he says to Gideon in the middle of his calling. He says, I will be with you. If you hear nothing else this morning, and you're trying to process, how am I going to live in 2021? I want you to hear the words that God spoke over Gideon. I will be with you. I will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is close to the brokenhearted. He is with you. His call on your life will be accomplished because God is with you. God was with me in discovering his call on my life. God has been with KCC and been faithful with us in bringing Pastor Mick for this new season. And God has been with each of us in what has probably been one of the craziest years of your entire life. There is another thing that we learn from the life of Gideon that I believe is extremely applicable to us as we move ahead. There are several really famous parts of Gideon's story, and maybe you've heard of them before. There's this whole fleece-laying story where Gideon says, I just want to make sure that you really want me to do this. So there's that part of his story. And then, of course, there is the miraculous story where Gideon goes to actually fight the Midians. He ends up having this epic battle royale against them. And Gideon is able to, he actually acquires quite a large army. But God says, that's too many people. Okay, that's Angela's version. That's not exactly what the Bible says, okay? But he says, no way. I don't want you to start thinking that you're doing this on your own power, your own strength. So Gideon, with his army of 300 people, defeats 135,000. I think you could call that a miracle. This incredible story can bring us hope and faith in facing an unbelievable challenge. But that actually isn't where Gideon's story ends. You see, there is a lesser known part to Gideon's story that I believe sheds light on how easily even the most well-intentioned person can lose sight of God's call on their life. You see, Gideon got, as the Bible describes it, ensnared. He got caught up in sin, and it not only affected him, but his whole family. After Gideon and his army of 300 conquered the 135,000, he asked the Israelites to give him a plunder of all their gold jewelry. And then he made an idol of sorts out of this gold. And the Bible tells us that the Israelites worshiped the idol, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Do you know what that word snare means? A trap. That is deceptively attractive. Does this sound familiar to you? I don't know about you, but I can think of different things in my life that if I'm not careful, they can too easily become a snare in my life. Sin, indulging, being greedy. Oh, I just need just a little bit more. We use people for our own gain. We cheat, we eat too much, and we laugh it off. We idolize someone or something more than we love God, and we rationalize it. We're selfish. We say, me first. We lack faith, and instead of filling our hearts and minds with things of God, we fill them with garbage online and on TV and in music. We're rude to our families. We have spirits of unforgiveness, believing, they should be the first ones to apologize. And before we know it, bitterness starts to creep in, and the list goes on. At some point this next year, we may be faced with any of those things. What is that area for you that's like a snare? It's deceptively attractive, but it's really a trap. It entices you over and over again, but true to its definition, it is deceptive, and it keeps you from true intimacy with the Father. We get ensnared, but God wants us to live free. For Gideon, his snare was an actual gold idol, probably like a golden robe, and I'm guessing that for you, you don't have a gold robe at your house. But there's something else that ensnares you, something that takes that focus off of the Lord. I didn't read to you earlier the first part of John 10:10, but it says this: the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give life to the full. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. James 5:16 encourages us to seek accountability. Confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We learn a lesson from Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember him? What happened when temptation came knocking at his door? He fled. He left. We all have those things that ensnare us. And the next time it comes knocking at your door, will you flee? You may feel God has called you to live big. And you may feel God's sense of empowerment in your life. But just like Gideon, if you or I get ensnared in sin, it can keep us from attaining the life that God has called us to. And you can probably think of some people, maybe even publicly or in your own life, that you have seen that would fall into this category. People that it just seemed like, well, they were living out the life that God had for them. But then something became a trap and it destroyed them. But hear this word of hope straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the kind of life that God has called us to, a life that is big and empowered and free. And this is only attainable through the forgiveness and the new mercies found in Jesus day after day after day. We have absolutely no idea what this year is going to hold. Will we still have a virus? Probably. Will we still face challenges? Yes. Will we have times when we are tempted to live small, make excuses, or become ensnared? I'm guessing we will. But our God has come to set the sinner free and to proclaim the good news. He came to give sight to the blind and to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to take our sin as far as the east is from the west, to bring healing and wholeness, to seek and save the lost. He came to love the unlovable, to forgive the most far gone. Our God, who humbled himself and he came to this world as a baby. He lived among us, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose from the grave for you and for me. He is capable of anything. He is the one who makes all things new. He is the one who gives us brand new mercies every single morning. He will be the one who will make us capable of living the kind of life he intends for us this year, a life that is big and empowered and free. So what about you? Have you been living small? Has your list of excuses gotten so big you can't even see over them? Or have you become ensnared by a really deceptive trap? Let's pray together. So in this moment, Father God, we surrender our purpose. We surrender our pain. We surrender our emotions and our feelings that are so fickle. We open ourselves up to what you might be calling out of us. Some of us are feeling called to live big lives. We know we've been living small and safe. If you're here in this room, or if you're at home and that's you, and you're feeling called to live big, right now, wherever you are, just go ahead and stand up. And if you're online, you can go ahead and type in the chat, live big. Go ahead, do it right now. And you can stay standing. Lord God, there are others of us who have been making excuses, and we know we need to stop. We desperately need your sense of empowerment in our lives. If you are within the sound of my voice and you feel like God is calling you to live an empowered life right now, wherever you are, please stand. And yet there are others, God, who we have become ensnared. Maybe it felt so harmless at the time, but we see how it has slowly been destroying our lives. God, we need to be free by the power of your saving grace. If that is you, and you need to be set free, wherever you are, please stand. If you're not yet standing, whether at home or here with us, I encourage you to stand with us as we finish our prayer this morning. Lord God, whether we are at home or here in this moment, speak to us. Remind us over and over again that all things are possible through you who gives us strength. As we look ahead to 2021, God, would we listen to your voice first? It's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you.